Who wants to go to the ramp with us next time? So for your parents that didn't send your kids with us to the ramp, we are going back to winter ramp in December. So if you missed your opportunity this summer, that's your opportunity. Come go with them. It's just a great experience. So I got a couple students here. Most of them went to the ramp. Some of them went to other camps, but I just asked a couple of our students, some of our student leaders, to just come up and just kind of share what the Lord has done in their life, specifically this summer. So we'll start with our friend on the. So as you each speak, tell us your name, your age, and where you go to school, okay? So we'll start on this side.
Hi, my name is Jude, and I'm 15 years old, and I go to Eastside High School. And I went to a camp in Texas, Alvin, Texas, and it's a very spirit-filled camp where people are just getting the Holy Ghost left and right. And so one night, I was on my knees praying, and I just wanted to be spirit-filled. And so I didn't know really what to do, but I just remembered, like, when you don't know what to do, just say Jesus. And I just started saying Jesus, and I just started speaking in tongues. And then when it was over, I got up and I realized there was all these people like praying for me, and I didn't even realize I was so lost in the spirit. Yeah.
My name is Cruz Kitchens. I'm in seventh grade and I go to Piedmont Academy. I went to a Christian camp. Prayer and worship was never really my favorite thing. When everybody was singing like up here, I would just be singing my own song, and hip hop and rap was a big part of my life. And I went to a camp, and it kind of just like took me away from that, and I really started loving hip hop, or not hip hop and rap, my bad, praise and worship. And then a few weeks later, I went to the ramp, and I got spirit filled, and that was like, and when I went to North Georgia Christian Camp, that was like the very first time I really experienced God.
Yeah. Awesome, buddy. Awesome, buddy.
I don't know if you guys' mics work. You try to use your mics, okay.
Hey, I'm Ava. I'm 14, and I go to Piedmont. I went to the ramp that was on the screen, and I just, like, the presence of the Lord was so strong there. And it's like the best feeling. And I've been to like the beach and many like places in the world that's like amazing, but the presence of the Lord is so much better. And like, I did not want to leave because it was just the best feeling. And
hey, my name's Savannah. I'm 14 and I go to LSS, Loganville High School. I was baptized at the ramp. One thing that stuck with me the most, though, was when they said the blood of Jesus is stronger. When they kept on repeating that, I felt enemies tremble and fall at the name of Jesus. He saved me from myself. I went searching for my worth in people and left finding my worth in God.
Come on, Savannah.
And I think that might have been the best thing I've ever experienced in my life. And I also spoke in tongues for the first time.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And I just love God. He took over my life, and I love him so much.
Come on, give him a hand. Come on, this is hard to be up here on this stage. So for a student to come up and do this and share their testimony of what God's doing in their life, come on, I think we can do a little bit better than a pity pat. Hey, man, thank you, guys. You guys can go down. I would just say this. Look, ramp was incredible. It really was. But what I loved was watching people, not only our own students, but other students, step into an atmosphere so saturated with the presence of God, you couldn't do anything but respond. Nothing else happens but a response. A soul cry. You know, a lot of times we want to say, you know, you're not supposed to be emotional in church, or you're not supposed to be this or that. But let me challenge you on your, if you look over your life, all of your best days were emotional lives, or were emotional days. Your wedding, seeing your wife come down the aisle. I cried like a baby watching Melissa walk down the aisle. The birth of my kids, holding them for the first time. I dare you not to be emotional. So our soul is just, it's a response, is just emotion. So watching these students, hundreds of students just respond to the presence of God is my favorite thing on earth. It's my absolute favorite thing on earth. So there were students just, man, they just told it like it is. Some of us adults like to just kind of hide what we're going through. But they had no shame in getting up and saying, you know, at 12 years old, they were exposed to this, and it led to a life of that, and that God set them free, and they've been free for X amount of days or X amount of years. And, I mean, just the boldness that these students have was almost envious for me. Like, man, I want that boldness. But that's what happens when the Spirit of God comes upon you. Amen? So we've had a lot going on today. We're going to do some prayer. I know we got kids in here. I'm going to be super duper short, I promise you guys. But if you guys will just hang with me for a minute. We are in our series, our family series. So anytime that I like to get up and speak, I like to speak about our family, or, you know, something relating to the family. So today I want to talk to you guys about three things that we can learn from Jesus's parents. Because I think we all can agree that they raised a pretty good kid. Right? You guys ever see like Friends and they have the best kid ever and you're like, man, what are they doing? Well, I can't imagine anybody better than Jesus, right? So Mary and Joseph, they did a pretty good job. And Joseph was a stepdad, so, you know. So he did a pretty good job. But could you imagine being Jesus's parents? Could you imagine being Joseph? Well, I guess I identify with Joseph because I'm a guy, but could you imagine being Joseph or Jesus' dad and Jesus just doing things that he may not agree with and then just be like, show kid, come get him, you know? I bet it was a blast raising Jesus and watching him. But so three quick points for you guys today. Point number one, they raised Jesus in faith. So, of course, we know that the church as we know it was birthed in Acts. But Jesus was raised in the Jewish faith. It wasn't just his ethnicity. He was a Jew. Like, he went, their family went to festivals, and they would travel and do all these things that the Jewish culture does. And they would, you know, they recognize Sabbath and all these things that he does. And we see Jesus actually quote Scripture, so he memorized Old Testament. It's kind of funny to think about Jesus. You would think he'd just kind of come out pre-assembled, right? Just already put together because he's God, right? But considering that he was God, he was complete from day one, he still didn't, like, slack on faith and on the things he was responsible for. I could, like, if it were me, I'd be like, do we really got to go to Feast of Tabernacles? Can we just go to Passover this year? I mean, that's a long journey. Can we just hang out here? But no, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up in the faith. They were consistent. I know it's every parent in here's desire to raise a well-rounded, successful kid. I know that's every parent's goal in here, and we do a really good job of it, right? Like, just this week, I've been watching my friends on Facebook post about, hey, we're doing this pre-SAT workshop. It's only $50. It's like 6 hours on a Saturday. It will guarantee to improve your students' SAT scores. We go buy all the, like, the name brand sports stuff. Just not too long ago, I bought the most expensive bat I've ever bought in my life for one of my kids because she needed a new bat. Well, I just told you who it was. But we do all these things to set our kids up for success. We try to put them in the best schools, in the best school districts. We try to make sure they're eating pretty good. We try to surround them with good friends. We do all these things to set them up for success. And there's nothing wrong with it That's being a good parent. That's what we should be doing. But my challenge to you today is, are we investing as much into their spirit as we are into the material things? Because here's the thing. I want all four of my kids to be successful in life. I want them all doing great and mighty things, and we talk about it constantly. But I also know that those things have an expiration date. They will end and burn one day. It doesn't matter if Cohen or Ava or Cruz or Troop become the best heart surgeon in the state of Georgia. If they die and go to hell, it's all for nothing. Right? So my challenge to you today is raise your kids in the faith. Invest at least as much, if not even more, into the spirit realm. Are we setting our kids up for a successful spiritual life? And part of that comes with weekly church attendance. Just going to go on and lay it out there for you guys. Just weekly church attendance. It drives me batty. I love all my friends on Facebook. I love them dearly. But it drives me crazy when I know someone is having difficulty with a kid and they're like, help me. What do? You don't go to church. You don't go to church. That's like raising kids 101. Bring them into the church. But not only bring them in on Sunday mornings, that's like, and we start at 10 o'clock, so that's not even morning. That's like late morning. Like, y'all should have already been up for a couple hours by now. But 10 o'clock service on Sunday is the minimum. Also, get them involved in youth ministry. That's where they meet friends. That's where they meet like-minded teens. They spend their entire days at school fighting off demons and fighting off kids that just aren't Christian. So they need some kind of connection with like-minded people. So bring them into the church. Bring them into the youth group. That's where you're going to make your investment count. Amen. Can I get somebody to respond to me? But here's the thing. Here's the thing we don't think about. If we get our kids full of the Holy Spirit in the presence of God, where they've got that hunger, like my kids have tasted it and they're addicted to it now. So they seek and want the presence of God. When we get them at that level, all the other stuff we've been preparing for doesn't even matter anymore. Because if they're seeking God and seeking the Spirit of God, all those things fall into line. Where they go to college, they're going to pray about it and feel impacted by God on where they should go, and then they're going to end up where they need to be. Who they marry, the Holy Spirit will tell them. I promise you the Holy Spirit will tell you who to marry. I think I told you guys this story before, but you know, there was a time Melissa and I dated, and we actually met at church at 15 years old, and we dated, but then we broke up for a good long time. But in that, I just was praying one day. I said, God, I need to know what your plan is, what your path is. Should I go this way? Should I go that way? Should I go this way or should I go toward Melissa Avenue? And I promise you, this is no lie. I was listening to internet radio. Back then you had to like listen to like AOL music or something like that. It was completely different, but it was new and it's the new thing and it was streaming. And it was just song after song after song where I wasn't picking the songs. I just said, hey, I like this artist, and they just would play whatever. But as soon as I finished praying, the very next song that came on was titled Melissa. Thank God for the Allman Brothers. It said Melissa. I mean, Spirit-led. I'm telling you, if we get it in our kids, I'm not saying life's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's all a cakewalk. I'm not saying you're not going to have pitfalls. But all the major things, they've learned how to make those decisions by seeking the presence of God and the Spirit of God. Amen? I've taken way too long on this topic. All right, point number two. If we are going to learn from Jesus' parents encourage spiritual growth. They encourage spiritual growth. There's a story in Luke, and I just laugh when I read it because it reminds me of something that I'll tell you about in a second, but I want to read it to you guys real quick. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 52. It says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. See, they're active in their faith. They drove a couple days' journey. I don't even know what they rode to get there, but it wasn't a car. They went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, Jesus, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. A whole day, y'all, with your 12-year-old son in another city. And I lost my place. Then they began looking for him among the relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, asking them questions. I'm going to stop right there. Jesus, if he was my kid, would have got a spanking. That's one of those times, if I was Joseph, I would have been like, come get your kid. Come get him, because I'm about to tear him up. Someone who heard him was amazed at his understanding of their answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. And then here comes Jesus. You know, it said he's never sinned, and I believe it, but this is pretty close. Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I would be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying, and then he went down to Nazareth with them, and it was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So this plays out to me like one of my favorite Christmas movies, Home Alone. You guys ever traveled with extended family members? Like, there's a couple times we've gone on vacation, but like my family, my parents, we'll bring in my sister and her kids, Melissa's parents. It's just one of those things where you got so many people, you're like, all right, is Cohen in that car? Oh, no, he's over here with this car. Okay, well, I got your kid over here. You know, just kind of chaotic. And I can imagine this is what this is like. And almost like that scene in Home Alone where they woke up late and they're all rushing out to get out to the airport. And, you know, they're just all over the place. It's chaos. And I can imagine a day's journey in, Mary's sitting there on her donkey or whatever it is she's riding, and she's just going over her head like, something just don't feel right. Oh, did I forget this? Did I forget that? And then all of a sudden, she sits up from her seat just like that redheaded lady on Home Alone on the plane. She sits up and says, Kevin! Mary sits up and says, Jesus! So they're already a day ahead, and they got to drive a day back, and it says it takes them 3 days to find him. Jesus is home alone, not in New York, but in Jerusalem. It's a funny picture to me. It doesn't have much to do with the lesson, but it's just funny to me. So they go back and they find him. Even at 12 years old, here's the point. And that whole long story, here's the point. Even at 12, Jesus was about his father's house. So even your 12-year-old, your 10-year-old, your 15-year-old, your 18-year-old should be in the house being about the father's house. Right? So I'm challenging you to not only bring them here weekly and bring them here to our student small groups, but I'm asking you to get them involved. Get them involved with service. There's so many areas where they can serve, and when you're invested in something, you feel a part of something. Jesus knew that at 12. He was about his father's house. So let's get them in the house, and let's get them busy in the house. My favorite point number 3. They followed spiritual prompting. Look at your neighbor and say, this point number 3 is free. Because this is important. This is important for your parents, for your grandparents, for you kids, for you students. This is important. They followed spiritual prompting. Matthew 2, verse 13 through 16. When they had gone, this was right after the wise men had came and blessed Jesus and left gifts. They are the ones who have gone. When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and they left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Get out of Egypt, I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Jerusalem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in the accordance of the time that he learned from the wise men, the Magi. Here's my point to you. If you've not heard anything else I say today, yes, bring them to church, but listen to this. There's no way on earth we'd ever put our kids in physical danger, right? You would never, 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 never take your precious baby and lay him in front of a rattlesnake. You'd never do that. But just as much as we protect our children with spirit, with physical things, we got to be just as diligent, spiritually speaking. Right? Because let me tell you, the devil's tactics have never changed. He has come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the only thing he knows how to do. And he is after your kid. Not only is he after your kid, he's after you. He don't know any new tricks. That's what he does. So we have to be spiritually so tuned in that we are sensitive when the Spirit gives us a warning concerning our kids. Just like that angel spoke to Joseph and said, "Jesus is in trouble. Get him out of here." There's some things we need to be paying attention to our kids. Don't think for a second Melissa and I, over the course of having kids, haven't been spiritually battling some things. We've prayed friendships out. We've put our foot down with like music and things like that. Like our kids know you cannot watch certain types of movies. You can't. It's got nothing to do with anything, but it is a spiritual battle, and these are windows into your soul, and we are not letting Satan in this window because we just ain't going there. There are certain types of music. There are certain types of movies we just say no to. No, no, no. We're not going down that road. There have been folks that we have cut out. I do some of my best battling. It's funny. My kids are going to be like, "That's what you're doing now?" Like, there's sometimes when I'll go in our kids' room, I'll sneak in like a ninja at night. They're sound asleep. Sneak in. Get down beside their bed. Get my anointing oil on my hands. Touch them on the head. They wonder why they're waking up greasy. Put my hands on them and be just praying. Like, there are certain things I know that each one of them may be going through. I'm just there for spiritual backup. That's all I'm doing. You know what? You having a hard time sleeping? You can't sleep through the night? I'm coming over and I'm praying over you. I'm saying scripture over you. I am anointing you in your bedroom. I'm praying over you because that's what we've been called as their parents to do for them. A couple times they've woken up and be like, "Dad, what are you doing?" "Oh, I just came to check on you. Just came to." I'm in your bedroom fighting. I'm fighting for you in your bedroom. That's what I'm doing. We've got to follow spiritual prompting, parents. But are we too plugged up with the world ourselves to even hear what the Holy Spirit's trying to say to us? I told y'all this one's free, so if you don't like it, it's okay. You didn't buy it. We've just got to be careful. We've got to make sure we're in the place where we're trying to get our kids to come to, right? I want to be up here showing them where to come to, but if I'm down here struggling in the same things they're struggling in, ain't nobody going to be helped, right? It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. Like, of course, we were all teenagers, you know, way back in the day. It doesn't feel like it's that long ago, but daily I'm reminded of just how old I am. But the world has changed. The world is so different. Even last night, just hearing stories, just talking to my kids, and just, I mean, no judgment at all. Just listening to, you know, things that they know friends are going through, and just, what? How? Who? Just the things that the devil is tormenting our kids with. That's why at the ramp there were hundreds of kids at altar calls. That's why there were hundreds of students that were baptized, because They're dealing with stuff. Your kids are dealing with stuff. You might not say it's your kid. Your kid's dealing with stuff. Are we going to help them? Or are we going to let them secretly battle these things on their own? Because they need help. They need help. And you help them by putting them in places of the presence of God. And you help them by being so spiritually in tune that when God gives you a warning, you're listening and able to do something about it. Get up. If it takes you getting up and get it, like I know, not figuratively, but if it takes you getting up in the middle of the night and getting out and moving to Egypt, do what you got to do to keep your kids safe. Amen? Amen. All right, my 3 points. We're done. So in closing, parenting, look, we got four. Whew. We just the other day, me and Melissa looked at each other just half laughing like, this is hard stuff. This is hard. Parenting is hard. Parenting in this day and age is hard. We are not Leave It to Beaver anymore. It's not apple pies and American flags. It's hard stuff. It's warfare out here now. It's hard. And this Student Takeover Sunday, I want to encourage you guys as parents, as grandparents, and you as students, if you're hearing me, I want to challenge you guys. Just as much as you plan for your future, just as much as you're putting effort into this year, it might be your senior year, your junior year, sophomore, freshman, middle school, whatever it is, I want to encourage you, as much effort as you're putting into your life, put that much effort into your spirit. Build your spirit man. Build your spirit man. I promise you, if you seek the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, your life is going to work out better. Again, I'm not saying nothing bad is going to happen, but you're going to have a help in it. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and seeking the presence of God daily is key. Parents, do everything in your power. If you're at home listening and you have kids, do everything in your power to get them into the house of God consistently. Not just Easter and Christmas. Consistently. Consistently. Because I promise you, the devil's not just attacking them twice a year. Daily, minute by minute, they're being tormented by the devil and his tactics. And they don't even know it's the devil. They don't even know it's him. He's that slick and sly about things. They're struggling with identity, who they are. They've got all these folks, influencers, telling them that you can be pink, green, whatever these days. They got so many voices in their lives telling them, you got to be like this. No, you got to be like that. No, you got to do this. If you want to be cool, you got to be this. The key is the presence of God. The key is the presence of God. Nothing. I heard this at the ramp and it's just powerful. Nothing can stand in the presence of God. You know, Satan likes to think that he's God's opposite. He likes to think that he's the opposite because when something's opposite of something, it has just as much weight or worth, just opposite. Like cold is cold, but hot is hot. They're equal and opposite. How dare he think that he is equal and opposite to our God? As much evil as he is, it will never amount and weigh as much as the goodness of God. Ever. So yeah, you're bad, but you're nothing in comparison to God and how great he is. So I want to be on this side of the equation. I don't know about you guys, but God is so good. The presence of God is so good. The presence of God cancels out suicidal thoughts. I promise you, you don't know what your kids are going through. We've had kids come to us and say, I thought about suicide. Mom, Dad, you don't know. They're not telling you these things. So what are you going to do? Like if you knew your kid was having suicidal thoughts, you'd do anything to get them help. Well, anything to get them help is to get them in this house. Get them in the presence of God where life change can happen. suicidal thoughts, pornography, addictions. Guys, this thing, you used to have to go and search this stuff out. You have to go find a magazine or something somewhere. It's at their fingertip now. It's at your fingertip now because you know. Everybody struggles with things these days, but your kids are struggling with these things. Gender confusion, perversion, sex, drugs, vaping, just all of these things can be set free in the name of Jesus. Nothing can stand against the name of Jesus. Amen. All over the place, could you just stand in closing? Could you just stand? And I've got a request as we close up here. If you're on staff with students, if you're on staff with kids ministry, I want you guys to help me pray. Pastor and PK, I'd love for you guys to come up on stage and just stretch your hands over the audience. If you're a student in this place, there is plenty of room to stretch out across this front. We want to pray over you as you're back to school. So if you wouldn't mind, just kind of come up. You can stretch out. If you want a social distance, you can do that. If you're home watching and you've got your family there with you, or maybe your son, daughter's in another room, call them in the room real quick. Just say, hey, come over for a few minutes. I want to pray over you. And I want you guys to join in with our prayers real quick. Guys, are we going to fight for our kids? I was talking with a family member of mine whose youngest child is already graduated high school and just not sure about faith, really wasn't brought up in church, but tried these last couple years. And almost feels like they plugged into it too late. Like, I don't know what to do. It's too late. Well, I know what we can do. We can bring their name and petition them in prayer. It's not over. God can still pursue an 18-year-old. God can still pursue a 25-year-old. So if you're here and you're like, Pastor Brian, it sounds great what all you're saying, but mine are gone and it's too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. I would spend every waking moment on my knees praying for my kid if that's what it took. There's always something to do. There's always something to do. So students, if you guys want to come to the front, we'd love to just pray over you. If you just stretch out across the front here, if you want to stay in your seat, it's okay too. If teachers, staff, yeah, if you're a teacher, Stephanie, Jason, Whitney, you guys, we're blessed to have a lot of teacher staff and faculty in this church. It's amazing. We want to pray over your years as well. So parents, if you'll just stretch your hands out towards these kids. If you're on stage, if you'll just stretch your hands out. Student leaders, pray over your fellow friends. I'm going to pray over our students, and we'll let Pastor Melissa pray over our staff. Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you, God, for our students. God, I pray right now, I plead your blood over them in this next school year, God. I pray you give them wisdom. I pray, God, that they walk in this year with just strength that they've never had before, just supernatural strength, God. Just move in their lives, protect their minds, put hedges of protection around them as they go into their schools. Lord, let their lights shine bright for you, Jesus. Let school be a mission field in Jesus' name. Let them see these church kids and see that there's something different, and let it be just attraction, and let conversations about you, God, just strike up. God, every plot, every snare, every trap the enemy would have against these students, we break them off in Jesus' name. We bind them up right now in the name of Jesus, God. These are your kids. They are set aside. They are set aside in Jesus' name, Father God. Lord, give them dreams. Give them visions. Help them to see glimpses of what you have for them in their future, God. Lord, I speak ministry into them, God. I speak blessings into them, God. Lord, they're not going to make and have pitfalls this year, God. They're going to stay on your path in Jesus' name. over their health, God. We just claim your protection. COVID will not touch our kids in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Protection in the name of Jesus. We pray it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we just love you. We love you and thank you for these teachers and administration in these schools and the board, God. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection over each and every one of them, God. God, they have a tough job, God, but you've given them the special call that they've stepped into, God, and I pray, God, that you give them more than what they ask, more than what they need, God, that you will just flow in their lives, God. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection over them and their classroom, over the buses, over the schools, God. I pray that you just wrap your arms around them, Lord God. God, I pray that you give them rest on weary days. You give them strength when they feel weak, God. I pray, Lord, that you will give them intuition, God, in dealing with students, Lord, because, God, sometimes school is their safe place. Sometimes school is a student's safe place, God, so I pray that these teachers, Lord God, would have wisdom, Lord, to love on these kids and to speak into them, God, that they're just not their students, God, but it's their ministry, God. This is not just their job. It is their ministry that you have called them into, Lord. I pray, God, that you will direct their paths, that you will guide their feet, God, that you would even give them the words, God, in these classrooms, God. Give them everything that they need, Lord, for you are worthy. Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. I love church today, guys. I love church today. Amen. If you guys want to just hang around, they're going to sing the blessing one more time. You guys just want to gather up in your families, that's fine. If you want to be dismissed, that's fine too. Amen.